Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Give me two.
Hi, welcome to the show. What if I did the whole show like this with my eyes just super wide open? I never blinked. I couldn't do that. I don't want dry eyes.
Disturbing. Yeah.
It would be odd, but hey, yo, this is the Palazzo Podcast. We're odd people. Anything could happen. He's Benjamin Chase. I'm Michael Govia. This is the Prospects Power Half Hour. We do it every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live. If you want to participate in the live chat and ask questions about Dynasty Fantasy Baseball, today we're going to talk about the MLB draft, a little intro, a little teaser for the 2023 draft, which is going to go down starting July 9th. It's in July, right? Right around, are they doing it on the All-Star break now like they're doing?
It's going to continue around the All-Star break. So.
Okay. So yeah, so it's, you know, 6 weeks, 5 weeks away, roughly, give or take. And we're going to be talking about who the players are that we should at least know off the top of our head. And Ben's got some interesting stuff related to high school pitchers this year and last year. And we were talking about how I totally spaced out on the guy here from Michigan who pitched at Orchard Lake St. Mary's, which is just right up the way here, like 25 minutes away. And I totally forgot his name. And I thought he went in the first round. It turns out his name was Brock Porter, who I have drafted in FYPDs a few times in the preseason. And he went in the fourth round because he wanted too much money. I was totally spaced out on that. But hey, there's more where that came from.
Utah.
Two L's, two Z's on
Give
Twitter.
Me two.
Follow Ben on Twitter, Big Gentle Ben. I'm at MJ Govier. Discord, Patreon, all free. Well, the Patreon starts with $3, but there is a free trial right now on the Patreon for 7 days. And you can do that now by clicking the link. It's all in the description. And we wanted to talk about, and I think we should do this first, and then we'll get into the draft because that'll take us to the end of the show. But, you know, pitching, Ben. Call-ups. Players that have been called up to pitch in the major leagues this year and some other call-ups. Like, you know, we've got Smith Shawver of the Braves. He's been called up to be a, and this is a guy you mentioned a couple weeks ago on the show that you were excited about, hopeful about. And he's probably absolutely going to be a reliever in this situation because their rotation is stocked for now. And he only pitched 68 innings last year across all of his work. So let's talk call-ups. Let's talk about it. Lay it out for us.
Well, this kind of just some general comments that people have made had me looking a little bit. And so far this year, 93 players have debuted. 60 of those debuts this year have been pitchers. So 2/3 of the players that have been coming up this year have been coming up to pitch, which are making their, at least making their major league debut this year. And that does not yet include Smith Shawver because he hasn't yet pitched. And collectively, all of those 60 pitchers have a negative 0.8 WAR, according to Baseball Reference. And a collective 5.23 ERA. And this is where it gets really, really nasty. A 5.43, 2.47 WHIP.
Ooh! That is bad.
I mean, you're coming in with, now, there are some guys who've done very well, and that's not to say that everyone has been terrible, you know, but for every guy, every Yuri Perez that's out there, you've had a Gavin Stone or a Brandon Fott. And, you know, and I think folks just don't understand the balance of that, that, hey, these are rookies. This is their first exposure to the league. They're going to have some real big ups and downs. That said, I mean, you have guys, you know, the Miller trio, if you want to call them such.
There it is.
Nathan and Bryce and Bobby. They have some of the most electric stuff in the majors, not just among the rookie class, but they're going to have their ups and downs. We saw what happened with Bryce this week. He finally, somebody actually hit him, you know, but, you know, I think it's going to be very interesting to watch this year because a lot of these guys that have come up, one of the things, the other thing I know is there's already been 118 starts made by pitchers who debuted this year. That's a pretty hefty number. I went back and looked, and last year for the whole year, it was in the low twos. I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head.
Wow.
So we're already more than halfway to the total from 2022 of starts made by a pitcher that debuted that year.
Good heavens. Well, so that's a huge number, Ben. And I just want to say one thing. First off, Christian was saying in regards to Shauver, AJ Smith Shauver, that after the breakdown Christian did of him, which you should absolutely check out, I retweeted it and you can find it in our Discord. Christian says, I think he will be in this role and he'll be able to hold his own.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, absolutely. But as far as what you just mentioned, that's a big number because there's been a lot of talk. There's every year, Ben, there's always talk about, boy, it seems like there's a lot of injuries. The last couple of years, I seem to hear that again and again. And I don't know if it's recency bias or if it just sounds like there's more injuries or feels like there's more injuries. But even I mentioned on RotoWire show last week with Jeff Erickson that I thought, wow, it seems like there's been a lot more TBDs in the rotation holes. When I'm looking at MLB probables for the next week ahead, TBD, who's pitching here, who's pitching there? A lot more holes, it feels like. And then one other thing about Brandon Fott, who's not the main culprit here. He's just one guy. And in fact, I actually feel a little bit bad for Fott. And I want to take full responsibility, Ben. The first time I heard Brandon Fott's name that I could truly recall was at first pitch, Arizona first pitch last November. I was moderating a panel on a Friday night with like Jeff Zimmerman and pitcher list, Nick Pollock and Chris Clegg. And we were talking about, you know, pitchers to be on the lookout for that were maybe a little deeper after the fact. And I remember Paul Spohr was making a joke about Brandon Fott. You know, he's making all these jokes as he was in the crowd. And I was like, oh, Brandon Fott, who's that? I really didn't know who that was in that moment. And ever since then, I got to be honest, I'm not proud of this at all. But I really did just kind of go along with the company line. Like people were saying, this guy's awesome. This guy's awesome. Everybody who was anybody, people who know fantasy baseball that I respect, said, Brandon Fott, this guy's going to be legit. This guy's a real deal. Stash him now. He's going to be a big deal. And I should have done more of my own homework. And so really, I'm just blaming myself and being honest about it and coming clean because I really just went along with the herd on this one. And I, as soon as I started to look at the numbers a little deeper, after he first got called up and got plowed, I was like, boy, there's a lot of home runs. I know it's the PCL and ball flies out of the PCL, but there's a lot of home runs in this profile. And I just want to be honest with you guys. I don't want to lie about it and say, hey, I make all the perfect calls. I know what I'm doing all the time. I may not have made a mistake here, Ben, but the process is what I'm really bummed out about, is that I really should have done more of my own homework. And, you know, we talked about Fott in the show, you and I together, yep. and we were both, I mean,
I've been pumping him all of last year. I've owned him on a lot of my clubs since before last year. That was a guy who I had picked out before the 2022 season because when his control is on, everything else has enough movement to where he generates way above average strikeouts for what you would think with his raw numbers as far as his velocity and things like that. But that requires his control to be on. And he just wasn't when he was up in the majors. And it really hasn't been great this year. Because it's a very hittable pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, his stuff does not have a ton of crazy break. It doesn't have a lot of wiggle, but he does a really good job locating it. And that is what kept hitters so off base last year in the upper minors. But you have 8 walks, 31 hits in 23 and two-thirds innings. And that's not going to work. I mean, just to put it bluntly, you know, a 1.65 whip. But more than anything, that fastball, it's a fairly straight fastball. And when you're not controlling it, it's going to fly. And that's exactly what happened with him.
So do you honestly think that it just didn't work out? It's not like, I mean, he was worth being touted this high, or did maybe we overrate him a little bit? And maybe, just maybe, you can't speak for everybody. You'll speak for yourself like you always do. And so do I on this show, on the Pull Up the Podcast, who else
sees. Give me two.
Maybe we got a little too hyped up on this one guy, and, you know, there were other options that we could have looked at, been a bit more patient. I honestly think this, Ben, I think it was a bad example of what we talk about in the show, where maybe we all got a little bit too much tunnel vision on Fought.
I do think he got pushed up a lot. And honestly, I thought where I was on him, thinking he was going to be a legit major league starter this year, as long as the control held, was a pretty rare position. And by the time we got to spring this year, everybody's talking Brandon Fott. And I just thought, well, that's weird, because I don't know that he's that kind of a guy. He's not an ace guy. He's just not. I mean, his future role, he's going to be a 4, or if he really does well, a 3 in a major league rotation. And for most fantasy teams, that means he's probably at best your 5th pitcher. I did not understand where that worked as far as fantasy people going nuts for him. At a real life level, he can repeat his delivery over and over and over again. He could eat up innings. The value he has in real life for a ball club is very, very high. There's a reason a guy, frankly, his own staff, there's a reason why Zach Davies keeps getting jobs. Because Zach Davies, whether you like his numbers or not, he goes out there and he gives you 5.
Yep.
And sometimes gives you a little more than that when he's doing well, but he's going to go out and he's willing to wear it for 5 if he has to wear it for 5. Because he's almost never going to get really stressed out in the way that he pitches. So,
that's a good point.
That's where I thought Fott's role was, which didn't make a lot of sense that would be a fantasy guy that everyone was on.
Yes, you're right.
I mean, I had him in a number of fantasy leagues because I like having guys like that. I mean, I roster Kyle Gibson in a number of places.
Yeah.
You know, that's the, you know, Wade Miley when he's doing well. That's the type of pitcher that Brandon Fott is. He's that type of a pitcher. You're never going to make or break your draft on a guy like that. Because there are a half a dozen to a dozen of them floating around every year that the year before had a 6 ERA. This year they're going to post a 3.85, and they're going to be worth putting out there for the 200 innings or 180 innings that they give you, because they show up every week.
And the other side of that, trying to make the case that, well, we should have been talking about Bryce Miller more. Well, I would say that's incorrect, because first off, the reason Bryce Miller got the call was because Robbie Ray died. They lost Robbie Ray. He's toast. So that was a radical moment that required a radical move to call up a guy from AA. And now I know we're starting to see maybe not many more, but, you know, last year, and this is, again, what Atlanta does, as you've talked about, and Christian talked about in his outstanding article on my Twitter feed, MJ Govier, is that, and also follow him on Twitter. It's CC_Crespo24. I always screw it up off the top of my head, Christian. I'm sorry. But Christian Crespo on Twitter for sure. The point being is there are certain teams that will take radical moves and call up more players from AA, like Michael Harris last year, and then Bryce Miller this year from AA for Seattle was a special occasion. And I know Yuri Perez was also called up this year. So going back to Christian's point, do you think that this had something to do with it, that these younger pitchers are more experienced with the pitch clock, so they're going to come up maybe even from AA a little more often?
I think certainly when you had, if you needed quick start, a fill-in start, if you're looking at, let's see, I have, you know, a reliever that I can bring in and stretch him out for three, or, and, you know, yeah, sure. Normally he goes one and he's fine in that one inning, but, you know, pitch clock is probably every so often is going to get him. Even as a reliever, do I really want to stretch him over three innings and likely see potentially one or two base runners that show up, or even, you know, handling the running game is another part of it. You know, yeah. These minor league guys have had to deal with some of these throwover rules and some of these other, you know, some of the more advanced steals type of rules, to where they're used to guys being able to run a lot. They're used to working within that system, and your reliever that's maybe been a, you know, a veteran reliever for a number of years isn't. And so therefore you bring him in for three innings and, you know, the other team runs like crazy on him. Well, that's, you don't want that as a manager. It's a whole lot easier to bring up, for instance, a Dylan Dodd, who maybe isn't extremely, he isn't an ace by any means, but he's going to go out there. And I think if I remember right, out of his, what has he made? I think four starts or five starts now at the major league level this year. I want to say half of them have been six innings, which as a manager, that's what you want. If he goes out and he gives up six runs in six innings, but he can, you know, manage the base flow or manage the flow of the game, and your offense is supporting him such, you'll take that all day long. You know, it's just, it's not a pretty situation, but it saves arms in your bullpen. These guys know how to work within the system. Yeah, you want that. And yeah, I think that's absolutely spot on, that it gets tough for a major league club to bring in someone on new rules like this that haven't ever seen them before. You know, yeah, it makes sense that the younger pitchers have an advantage. And so, okay, so actually this is it, not six. He went five in three of his four starts.
Okay.
Which, you know, that's not nothing. He had one blow-up start with seven runs in four and a third innings. You take that one start out, and he's about a four ERA guy. That's kind of what you expect out of a back-end guy. Before the year, I compared him in a scouting report to J.A. Happ.
This is a great point.
J.A. Happ being a four ERA guy with a 120 whip, not going to give you a ton of strikeouts, but he's going to go out every game, grab the ball for five innings, and maybe more. That's the type of guy that some of these guys are. And what we need to be careful on is, yes, we have the Millers. We have Yuri Perez. Those guys are elite talent type guys that have been called up this year. But in general, a lot of these guys that have been called up because they can go out there and give five. And they understand the rules. So, I mean, that's what's rare to do in this stuff. And so, I don't know. One other one that just got called up recently that I wanted to highlight, we never got to him last week, but Lucas Ehrschig with the A's, he was a huge prospect as a minor leaguer, ERCEG. Yeah, he was a prospect as a hitter for a number of years and then made the change to the mound. The raw stuff there is nuts. He's got 10 strikeouts and seven innings so far, and watching him in his first couple of games, I don't know if they have a guy with better stuff in the Oakland bullpen. And if you want to think about a potential speculative save ad for, I don't know that he's going to take over that role mid-year, and you're talking about an Oakland team that might win 50 games all year, if that.
50? Yeah, 45.
Well, I mean, You always assume that your worst team is going to start at 60 and go down from there. So, you know, it's hard for folks to think about that 60 wins, even a team that loses 100 games has won 60 times. That's just, you know, so.
Well, it's a long season. It's 162 games. Plus, they took it to your Braves recently, too.
You know, though, it was a lot of group pitching in that series. They got a solid start each time that didn't go very long, but a solid start to the game. Yeah. And then the bullpen just came in and cleaned up each game. That was really impressive. So But I love watching Urshig pitch, and I think he has got a long-term future at the back end of a bullpen. So okay. Just a quick little thing for folks to notice out of the many, you know, after, out of the 60 names that have debuted this year and tossed a little bit.
Yeah, they're all really over.
Stood out recently.
Yeah, and the Oakland has a lot of young arms they could bring up. They'll continue to bring up because they've just traded away a lot of players, the Yankees and other teams that have brought over the J.P. Sears and the Ken Waldachuks, and now we got the Luis Medinas. We saw the Mason Miller for a minute, and now Urshig. So there are bad teams that will have more opportunities to pitch younger pitchers because they got nothing going on. They're not trying to win. Well, they're not. The Oakland's not trying to win, so don't try to sell it to me any other way. It's just a total sham shit job. It really is. Chad's here. Chad, always glad to have you in the chat, my friend. Chad's the man. Chad says, on the topic of the draft, is this class as underrepresented as I think? And is it because so much focus has been on the race between Skeens and Cruz? All right, that's as good a time as any to switch over to some 2023 MLB draft talk here, my friend. What do you think of that initial topic?
I don't think so. For one thing, because nearly anyone you talk to around the game says it's a five-man draft. So it's not just the two guys from LSU. It's not Skeens and Cruz. In fact, we're starting to hear a lot more rumors, and this could get a lot louder than that, but a lot of rumors that number one may not be either one of those two. Because a guy like Wyatt Langford, in most years coming from Florida, doing what he's doing this year at Florida, would be a slam dunk number one. But on the, you know, on the college hitter board, he's going against Cruz, who's an all-time talent. One of the things you're starting to hear is that folks might, there may be a high school guy go number one along the lines of when Royce Lewis did, because the Twins knew they could get Lewis for a little cheaper than the other options that year. Mm. And there were some really good number one options in the year that Lewis went. But they chose to go with Royce Lewis because they knew they could go a little bit lower in price. And some of the words you're hearing is that someone like Max Clark or Walker Jenkins could end up being that top overall pick.
Oh, Christian says fade Max Clark.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of folks that, and especially don't like his attitude. And I guess, I don't know. I watch his raw talent, and I've heard a number of interviews with him where I like the way he speaks about the game, but quite frankly, I heard interviews with Trevor Bauer and loved the way he talked about baseball too. So you can't always judge a person just by the way that they talk about the game of baseball.
Yeah. So Trevor Bauer became a much different person as the years went on. I would say he was a very quiet. I mean, I will say though, with Trevor Bauer, he did come out and show that he was an individual from the start, because he was, he's got his own throwing program and his own, he wasn't going to follow the norms, and he was going to long toss all the time, etc. There are always little things you can look for in a profile of a draftee and see, like, well, maybe this guy, I mean, who cares necessarily if he fits in a team concept? Sometimes you do just need the talent. I get that. You can't have everything.
Mm-hmm. And this draft, what I'll tell you, there's going to be a lot of college hitting early, and there's some pretty solid depth up the middle in college right now that's going to be in this draft. One of the hottest names you're hearing right now as far as moving early is Kyle Teal, who's a catcher from Virginia. I think BA had him like 10 or 12 or something like that in their last rank. But he has been moving up a lot. And he's one of those guys who was an athlete and moved behind the plate. Well, you know, with some of the stuff we're starting to see with the emphasis on guys who can move around and can control the running game from behind the plate, getting an athlete behind the plate again is a highly valued thing again. And so he does need a lot of work to his game, but his bat is really, really, really impressive. So I could see him being a guy that moves up farther than most think. I have not heard his name near one, which honestly, for the Pirates, it would make very little sense to draft a guy who's right now positioned as catcher.
Yes. You got Endy and Henry Davis. They got plenty of catchers.
Red alert. Red alert. Commercials incoming. Please be prepared to ignore them. These people are not your friends. These messages are intended to make you feel bad or that something is missing from your life. Red alert. Commercials incoming. Prepare to enable the use of your 15-second skip ahead button. You are in terrible peril. Red alert. Red alert. Commercials incoming. In 3, 2, 1.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
But guys like Jacob Wilson and Jacob Gonzalez are two long-proven shortstops at the college level. And
what? Jacob Wilson's from GCU? Yeah.
And
that's where I got. I'm finishing my master's at. It's an online school. Wow, they really are. That'd be hilarious. I don't know why that's blowing my mind right now, but it's very, very much blowing my mind that there's going to be a top 10 MLB draft pick from Grand Canyon. That's crazy.
Their baseball program is quite good overall, but you know, this is his dad is Jack Wilson.
Oh, who was a Jack!
Longtime major league
Pirates. Yeah,
very, very good defender, and he comes with the same blood. Very, very, very good defender.
Love Jack Wilson.
And Jacob Gonzalez may be a guy that moves to second or third, but I mean, he has just been in the middle of so much in his career at Mississippi. You hate to make this type of a comparison, but he's kind of like the way Jeter was as a pro, where you just don't know how he ends up doing it, but in the ninth inning, he always ends up at the bat. And he seems to always come through with a hit, or he's making this unbelievable play from shortstop that, it's really not textbook. It's not what you'd like a shortstop to look like, but it gets the job done. It gets the out, and he seems to make those plays late in a ball game or during the middle of a rally to snuff out a rally. so much.
Well, yeah, look at that. He helped Mississippi win their first ever World Series right there.
Yep.
As a freshman. That's not nothing. You got to take that into account.
And he's been a very active part of that program for the last few years. I think he's going to be a good consolation prize. I think your top five prospects are kind of set in Cruz, Skeens, Langford, Jenkins, and Clark. And basically the team picking six is just kind of hoping somebody decides to get cute and not pick one of those five.
Well, why did Christian say Dollander maybe with the question mark? He did throw that in the comments here.
Coming into the season, a lot of places had Chase Dollander ranked as the number one overall prospect in the draft. He is an exceptional arm. He has had a really crappy season for Tennessee. Control hasn't been there. But this is a guy, quite frankly, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we go through College World Series, which, by the way, College World Series playoffs start this weekend. So, you know.
Yeah. Did you hear about what's going on in Lexington, Kentucky? They're hosting one of the regionals, and there's a music festival going on at the same time, so all the hotels are sold out. So Kentucky is offering up their dorm rooms as a place to stay for the teams and the families and the people who want to go watch the regionals in Lexington, Kentucky.
And some poor sap is going, man, they're going to move this or that in my dorm room. No, it's summertime, so no, likely they don't have anything going
those
on.
Those things are empty. That's right. Those things, except the sports ones. Those people are sports dorms are special, guys. We all know the truth there. Christian says Enrique Banfield Jr. is going to be one to climb closer to the draft. Might not have the flash, but very well rounded. Enrique Banfield Jr.
He is an outfielder from Vanderbilt, which, hey, you've got a guy who's started for multiple years at Vandy, you've got a guy. But Bradfield, on the 20 to 80 scale of running, is about an 85. He's just ridiculous fast.
So he's like Vince Coleman or Estuary Ruiz.
But he has more balance to his overall profile. I honestly think he could be a guy to have that kind of speed and still get, you know, I don't want to guarantee home run rates, but I think he's going to be a guy that's going to tally up a bunch of extra base hits in his career.
Well, let's do a pop quiz here real quick. What was the most home runs you think Vince Coleman ever hit in a season? I'm going to say I think he cracked double digits once. I'm going to say 14. You say seven?
I said seven.
Oh, and Ben wins. None of us were correct, but the highest he ever did. 1990, Vince Coleman cranked six dongs his final year with the Cardinals before he left for the Mets in 91. Six dongs for Vince Coleman. Wow, what do I know? We also have a question here from Sound Money, also known as Bob Doe in our Discord. Bob Doe. Here's my dumb question. I picked up Nimala. Am I dumb?
I really like his overall report, but one of the reasons why he's pushed up in this draft class is...
Well, can we clarify who that is, by the way? I don't know who Nimala is. I'm coming clean.
Arjun Nimala is his name. He's a high school shortstop out of Florida. And he is... I want to say he might be the youngest guy out of most top 100 lists for this draft. Because there's some guys who are a little farther back that are going to be a little bit younger. But one of the reasons he's pushed up a lot is because he is quite young. He's only like 17 and he's only going to be 17 and a half or so at the draft. So, I mean, that's pretty darn young. He reclassified into this class, I believe. So he jumped up from, he would be typically a junior. But yeah, the comps that you get on him are guys that hit for a ton of power and also have raw speed. So, but kind of loose on their plate discipline stuff. And I've heard Alfonso Soriano a number of times with him.
Ooh.
I don't know if he has that much power, but I mean, you start thinking like the names that I've heard a number of times are Ron Gant and Alfonso Soriano. That's, I mean, you're talking a couple of guys who put up quite a few 30-30 seasons. And, you know, I think he's got that kind of power. Where he ends up defensively, I'm just not sure. He's got a really good arm, but I'm just not sure if he's going to stick it short. And, you know, if he moves to second, if he moves to third, I think he'd be fine either way. I think he could probably be a very good corner outfielder. Not sure if he's got, I mean, center, you got to have those instincts in center. So, you know, have no idea of what he looks like in center.
He's a few years off though. I mean, like looking at him, it's clear he's got,
that's the other thing I was going to say is he's going to have a number of years before he's in the majors. So I think he's a guy, but he's a guy who, if you're rostering him, you might have to wait till 2025 before you even know if you truly have a guy. He's not going to hit upper minors until probably even mid 2025. So
unless he's Jackson Holliday.
Well, that's just been nuts.
We're at a half hour and I got to go. I got a lot more stuff to do, but I want to get this point in because Uncle Ted's here. He said, what up? What's up, Uncle Ted? Big Ben Brown, triple exclamation points.
Yeah, I love Ben Brown. I have loved Ben Brown since he was in the Phillies org. And he, to start this year, was a guy who benefited a lot from that tacky ball in the Southern League. But he's been up in AAA now for a little bit. And there were some people when they recently had a call-up saying that maybe Ben Brown should be that guy because he's now made more starts in AAA than he did in AA. But just to kind of show some of the difference in that tackified ball and what it was doing for him, he had 6 walks in 20 innings in AA. And walks have always, or control has always been a thing for Brown. He's always had good strikeout rates, but getting the ball where he wants it has always been an issue. Well, now in AAA, in 5 starts, he's thrown 24 innings, and he's walked 12. So that's significantly up. That said, he's also struck out 36. So, and the great part is he's right on 100 batters faced. So there's your percentages. 12 and 36 are your percentages. A 12% walk rate is not something you want out of a pitcher. And I'm sure the Cubs would like to see him have more success.
Steele's on the IL, and then they called Wesneski back up. So we know that for now. But Ben Brown watch will continue. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
AV Lex says real quick, you guys think Adam Duvall will be as good as he looked for the rest of the season?
Yeah. I mean, he started out this year way above anything he's ever done in his career.
No, come on, Ben. Look what he did in Atlanta. He had the stupid year there. I don't know how he does it, man. It's power. Amazing.
But with power, I mean, it was like 260 with power. This year, he was hitting like 500 with power. And so,
what he does, right? He'll just go on a tear and then he'll cool down, but the power will still come on occasion. You're right. So, yes, it was more than what he was even in his finest hour. But yeah. I expected all that to level off eventually. But you're not wrong. That's true. Okay, I'll give you that.
So here you go. In his best, in that 2021 year Okay, 2020 is the year that I was thinking, where he hit 16 bombs in that shortened season.
Oh, yeah. Luke Voit was the home run king that year. Year's nobody cares about 2020, especially me. But
he hit .237 that year, too. The next year, he led the National League in RBI, had 38 home runs, and hit .228. So, I mean, this isn't a Duvall, this isn't an Adam Dunn sort of situation where he's going to hit .228 and still have a .400 OBP. Because he hit .228 and had a .281 on base. I mean, that's the type of player he is. He's going to strike out a ton. He's not going to walk a ton for you. That's who he's been. But he's very, very, very good outfield defender and hits the ever-loving stuff in out of a baseball.
He does. So
you just, you're going to go through some pretty dry times as far as batting average is concerned. Like, for instance, that year that he hit 38 home runs, he had 17 doubles. That should tell you the quality of contact he's making when a guy who has the power to hit 38 out only has 17 doubles.
That's right. Patrick says, with great power comes great responsibility. And unfortunately, he's not very responsible when it comes to getting on base consistently. So that's with the wrist injury, too. I mean, come on. I know he'll probably come back, and all the injuries these days are defying the odds. And Altuve comes back way early and, hey, I'm great again. It's just, I'm very dubious, especially when you got hand or wrist issues as a power hitter. It's got to have some impact, and we'll see how that plays out. But as we go, Ben, just want to mention my Tigers called up Reese Olson to start Friday, who has been a little bit better in some recent starts, but overall this year he's been much worse than he was last year in the minors. But I guess they see a trend recently where they feel like, hey, Reese Olson, he looks like he's pitching better, so let's give him a shot. You know, we've got holes to fill on this pitching staff. Real quickly, Reese Olson, any excitement, or was it a fluke year last year in the minors?
I've liked Reese since he was a high school pitcher coming out of Georgia. I was amazed. He lasted till the 13th round before the Brewers picked him. And I thought that was just way, way, way too late. But so I've been following him since and really enjoyed how he's developed. But he's a guy whose stuff reminds me a lot of that review I gave on Brandon Fott. If he can keep the ball where he wants to keep the ball, he's going to generate a number of swing and miss. He's just because it's got enough wiggle, it's got enough stuff there to where he's going to get some very good results. But in general, he doesn't keep the ball where he wants to keep the ball. And yeah, in the last two starts he had in the minors, both times he went five, which, by the way, he had not gone five innings in a single start up until that point. But he went five in both of his last two starts with a combined two walks between those two starts and 19 punchouts. But, I mean, the previous three starts, he had at least three walks. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's just – you have to be – I'm not going to jump out and get him. Let's put it that way. And it's probably going to take four or five starts before I would be comfortable with rostering him in a redraft. And by then, probably he's been picked up because, ooh boy, rookie coming out having four or five good starts. Ooh, let me have that. And so I'll probably end up missing out on him, which I'm kind of okay with this year. Yeah. But I will say, if I think he could be a guy who gets a good beating this year, to put it bluntly, and learn some things from it and comes back, I've really liked watching the way he progresses year to year, because he does get his brains beat in at times and then figure some stuff out and he responds and changes what he's doing and has more success. That's been the pattern of his career. I just don't know. If you don't have the ability to handle taking the beat in that he's going to probably get, it might be just best to let somebody else handle that.
Well, he's taking on Reese Olson's debut will be against the Chicago White Sox in Chicago on the South Side.
But you can't ask for much better of a lineup to go against right now. Cause
I was just going to say that they are bottom four as a team in baseball, bottom four in MLB in WRC plus as a team. They have an 82 WRC plus against right-handed pitching this year. So check the trends on that. Maybe recently it's been a little better, but I highly doubt it, most likely. And I think Reese Olson could surprise. You know, there's nothing like the element of a new arm that they don't have a lot of experience with to kind of take advantage of a lineup. But I agree with you. He could get burned after the fact once teams make some adjustments. But, hey, who knows how long he'll stick around, too. The Tigers have had some disappointing injuries here recently with Eduardo Rodriguez and Riley Green going on the IL. Very sad.
Go Tigers.
But it's already a winning season. I mean, they're two games under 500. It's June 1st. They're so close to 500. It's mind-blowing, and they're in the hunt with the Twins. That's not real at all. That will totally be much wider by the time August rolls around. I promise you this. Because when June kicks in, to me, this is when the teams really start to separate themselves. Like, okay, we've been screwing around for 2 months. It's time to kick it into high gear. And, you know, And then they take off. And I expect the Twins to be... And actually, Cleveland scored 12 runs yesterday at Baltimore. They may have woken up their offense in that game, and they could start to pick things up as well. So, still, Ben, we're still pro. In fact, the fact that those teams were facing each other, I can't believe they didn't make a trade while Cleveland was in town with Baltimore. Say, hey, guys, we got you here. Let's make that deal we've been talking about. We've been hearing the Blotzer podcast. Ben Chase and Michael Govey have been talking about that big trade that needs to go down between Baltimore and Cleveland. So let's make it happen.
It's like, hey, we're just going to leave behind one of our pitchers and take one of your outfielders with us. Is that cool? You know, would have been real smart of Cleveland to do. But, you know, And same thing. I guess if you want to put St. Louis into the same batch as Baltimore, St. Louis desperately could use an arm. They have so many outfield bats. I mean, Cleveland might be in a catbird seat right now going into July, and yet they don't know for sure if they're buying or selling. You know, so do they, you don't want to go out and acquire someone who's a veteran that's on his last, you know, you don't want to acquire someone who's going into free agency in a year or two if you're selling off, because you want to get a guy that's going to be there for a long time. You want to pursue the Jordan Walker. You want to pursue the Colton Cowser, someone like that, who's going to be around for quite a while. But I don't know if the Indians are going to, you know, or mine on me, but I don't know if Cleveland's going to, I don't know if
they're
truly selling or if they're actually going to truly be buying, because the Central is going to keep them in. I mean, the Twins aren't going to likely pull away. I can't imagine the Royals are going to do a whole lot to stop them.
By the way, Twins sent down Eduardo Julian today, even though he proved he is a MLB regular. Mm-hmm. He's proven that. Even it's a small sample size, I get that, but it's just so obvious. Opposite power, he's got it all. He's a leadoff hitter for them too. When it's just a weird situation where you gotta, hey, you be our leadoff hitter on our MLB squad. Now you're going back down to AAA, and that just shows you how much talent the Twins have, and they're just another name on a long list of teams that are in contention, want to make a run, who need to make a trade, because there's an overabundance of position players. I didn't mean to be cruel or like to be harsh to, I think it was Jay Johnson in the Discord earlier was saying, Matt Waldner's on fire in AAA. I'm like, well, who gives a shit? There's no, yeah. I mean, he got sent down just recently. He could be hotter than hell. There's no room for him. They just sent down Eduardo Julian. So that tells you everything you need to know about whether Matt Waldner will come back up.
And sadly, Matt's probably, I compared Matt to a guy that you might remember with the Twins years and years ago, and Tom Brunansky.
Yes.
And, you know, mostly power focused, not a lot else to his game, but a very good, like, clubhouse type person, a person you want in your clubhouse, and he's probably going to hit quite a few home runs for you. That's a nice guy to have. The Twins have a lot better guys in raw baseball talent right now, which is just ridiculous to consider that, in all seriousness, he might be about the sixth or seventh corner outfield option for the Twins right now, and that guy would be starting and batting fourth or fifth for Cleveland. Now, I don't see the Twins in Cleveland making that trade, but that's, I mean, just imagine what you could do with that kind of a bat in Cleveland's lineup that's, you know, sell out for power and actually gives you power, not like Josh Bell, but, you know, a guy who has the ability to hit for power.
Josh Naylor.
Well, yeah. Although he's had his moments this year. He just hasn't done it consistently.
Right. Well, last year he showed the flair for the dramatic. He was clutch hitter. He had that whole weekend series against the Angels a few weeks back where he hit a home run to give them the lead in every game of that weekend series. And you're right. And then he chills out and people are like, I got to drop him. And then he has a monster game like he has against Baltimore with home run, six RBIs and a steal just to put the cherry on top, which is just the fantasy dream right there. That was one of the best stat lines of the season, actually, so far.
Yeah.
In terms of a hitter stat line for fantasy. But all right, we're going to go. It's been great to talk to you guys. I hope you enjoy the show. Me and Benjamin Chase, as always, on the Prospects Power Half Hour. Follow us on Twitter, Palo Alto Podcast, 2Ls2Z.
Utah.
Follow
Give
Ben
me two.
On Twitter, Big Gentleman. I'm at MJ Govier. We're in the Discord. That's totally free. The link's in the description. It's all over the place. It's very easy to find, the Palazzo Discord. If you are afraid of Discord, you're like, it seems like a strange place where, like, government officials give away secret files and there's, like, weird QAnon shit or something going on. No, it's not like that. There are very normal Discords that are just chilling. We talk baseball. We talk about life. We offer food. We got everything in our Discord, and we're not out to hurt anybody. We're quality people. It's a quality Discord. Just ask any of these guys in the live chat. They'll tell you. They'll vouch for you, because really the Discord is made up of people like them. It's not just me and Ben or Christian Crespo or Crosby Spencer, who's got his own channel. He's really good with analytics, making up his own stat models. We got everybody in there all day. The questions they ask spur ideas for other people to make their own decisions with their rosters. I think it's a really beneficial place, and we hope to have you aboard sooner than later. By the way, audio last week disappeared, so if you want to catch last week's Prospects Power Half Hour, you can still catch it, but it's only on the YouTube, so sorry about that. This week, I'm sure there will be no storage issues, and you will be hearing it. In fact, you're literally, even though this is live right now, somewhere later in the future, someone's hearing this in audio format on a podcast. Isn't that weird?
Hello, future.
All right, thanks, everybody. Have a good weekend. Enjoy your baseball stuff. And don't forget, I'll be back tomorrow with the big mystery guest, someone who's going to be new addition to the Palazzo Podcast world. Who's it going to be? It's going to be somebody. And you'll find out tomorrow live at 4 p.m. Eastern time on the Palazzo Podcast YouTube channel. Bye-bye.
The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wander Franco is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money. Don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden. And it's cruel sometimes. But it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.